You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 128. And today, let's learn how to transform our customers into a sales force that brings us even more of our perfect clients. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson here, Profit Amplifier. And I'm excited for today's episode. It's really one of those topics that I don't get to have conversations about all that much, but it's actually, I like to think of it like your stealth marketing force. It's little things like this that can radically improve your bottom line. And my guest today is going to share what she learned from growing up with Ray Kroc, that's the founder of McDonald's, business growth advice being channeled into her brain. So she'll share more about how that worked and what she learned and how she's gone on to work with several five-star restaurants and top-of-the-line companies and just people who are creating extraordinary customer experiences. It's going to be really, really insightful for finding little areas to improve in your business. Now, before we dig in, one of the things that I think makes such a huge difference in how we approach growing our business, how we approach like opening up our mind to new possibilities, is what I call a bold mindset. And so bold doesn't mean you have to go out and do outrageous things all the time. It literally means you have the confidence to set a really big vision, to stretch into goals that terrify you, and then become the person that can pull them off. And what I've noticed in my own life and coaching entrepreneurs for almost 20 years now, it's really easy to let fear get in the way. Would you agree? Yeah. Fear is something that can get in the way. We can start talking ourselves out of it. We can, you know, like start to unravel all the good we're doing because we let the limiting beliefs drive our decision making. And so I want to remind you about a valuable resource I've made available for absolutely free. It's the Own Your Bold 5-part training. And inside, I'm going to show you the simplest way to upgrade your thinking, your mindset, your belief systems, so that you can pull off your biggest, boldest goals. You can create a huge smash in the industry and really rise above all the noise and be seen as an industry leader, which basically means you attract more clients. You attract more opportunity. You attract more of all of the revenue potential that's out there because you are not just part of the noise. This is a very, very powerful 5-part training. It's very short. It will take you less than an hour a day to do each step. It's 5 days worth of training, and I guarantee you, you are going to get a huge burst of clarity on an area to improve in your business that's going to lead to massive improvement in your revenues. So how do you get it? Head over right now to ownyourboldchallenge.com, and you'll be given access to the 5-part lessons. All right. I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest. Well, I want to welcome my guest for today's episode. We're going to have a conversation that I've been so excited to have because as small business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, we often focus on leads, but we forget that one of the most profitable areas of growth opportunity and ways to grow our business is the referrals and the marketing that good client customer care can do. So I have invited Jill Raff to join us today. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jill. Jill has over 30 years of customer experience because she grew up working with the owner operators, her parents are the owner operators of McDonald's number 150. Like, just grasp that for a minute. The number 150 store that was open, right? And, you know, inside of that, she learned how to apply Ray Kroc's customer service philosophy that permeates almost 38,000 stores today. Jo followed her dream to be a fashion designer, taking her to work in New York, Italy, and Hong Kong. She's fluent in 5 languages. She's trained as a chef at Le Cordon Bleu in Paris, France, which I'm certainly geeking out on that one. She became a top food stylist within the food industry and worked with brands like Harrods, Michelin-starred restaurant, Guido, Godiva, Food & Wine magazine, The Oprah magazine, Good Morning America, The Today Show. Jill's closed over $22 million in real estate sales, licensed in New York and Texas, and she uses her entire background now as a high-level consultant for companies who want to create a 5-star customer experience. So, Jill, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Melanie.
It was one of my favorite conversations that we had at the New Media Summit where we met, and I just remember thinking, like, what an interesting background and what an interesting conversation. And so many golden nuggets for the entrepreneurial community can come through this kind of like a recalibrating of what we think about for customer experience.
Yeah, I love the way you say golden nuggets because, you know, for me, that ties into the golden arches.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, I understand how this relates to a business, right? And especially when we're talking about big businesses and, you know, customers that are actually going into a store. But tell me a little bit about how this idea of customer experience, like a 5-star customer experience, relates to the entrepreneur.
Oh, goodness. Your ratings and reviews are so very important. And I think what a lot of people don't realize, and I've spoken to business owners who feel like, well, you know, Yelp, it's not really that reliable and our competitors go on and trash us. And there's a lot of things that are not really right. And, you know, maybe you'll have one disgruntled customer who will go off. And yes, that may be true. But my response to that is, well, twofold. One, whether it's true or not, it's still out there and it's published and people are seeing it. And the truth is that people do refer to Yelp before starting business with someone new. And so if you just ignore it, it is going to bite you. And what's amazing to me, Melanie, is how many businesses never respond to anything, whether good or bad, but they don't address the negative reviews. And so it's really important as a business. And in fact, studies show that 31% of customers will likely spend even more money with your company with positive reviews. And 22% won't even buy a product or service if they see a single negative review. So it just is nuts to me why people don't address the reviews and show your customers, your potential customers or repeat customers, we care. We care enough to respond to you and we want to make it right.
I love that. And you know, it is interesting that in today's online technology, Yelp is a go-to place to review a business, right? And yes, there's a lot of things that people can do just out of spite, but truthfully, if you read the comments and you see how a business owner responds to certain things, you can improve your view of a company in a nanosecond just because you're like, wow, look how they handled that. So there's a trust, I think, that gets put in place of they'll take care of me if something goes wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's right.
And so I got to get this out of the way before we dig deeper into this whole idea of customer 5-star experiences, but I'm so fascinated by how you grew up, because I also grew up in an entrepreneurial household, right? But I wasn't like infused with Ray Kroc's customer service philosophy. You know, it was more like mom and pop. We had a bee company then, and we were a major supplier to the honey industry in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up very entrepreneurial, very much like about what a mom and pop store would be like. But you had a franchise you grew up in. And I'm curious, like, was there any major or minor ways that Ray Kroc's philosophy kind of impacted you as a young child?
Absolutely. I grew up working from, as you heard at the New Media Summit, I had 2 older sisters. And so we started out in terms of working in the front of the store in the making milkshakes. And actually, we used the very multi mixers that Ray Kroc sold to the McDonald's brothers. And I was too little. I was like 7. And so my dad had me answering the phone. And, you know, I still, the tagline at the time was McDonald's is your kind of place. So I would answer the phone, you know, good morning, always with the greeting. McDonald's is your kind of place. May I help you, please? And so from an early age, I was already being trained in what today we'd call customer first impression, right? Your first interaction with your customer as your business. And then, of course, I worked my way through up next to the milkshakes and ultimately everywhere. And I always loved most working on the cash register because I enjoyed getting people in and out quickly. We would have, sometimes they'd have like little, they call it rabbit contest to see who you could get people in and out, but always, you know, looking that you smiled at your customer and just doing all the different stages. But it was just something that, and going to McDonald's conferences where I would hear the speakers and Ray Kroc and others speaking. And it was just the value system that was so clearly defined at the time, the customer's always right. Now, granted, 60 years later, the customers are different, businesses are different. And I don't think necessarily they're always right. Maybe they're not right for you, but I do think you still have to approach the business that we are there to serve our customers' interests first. And that was just something that was always a part of my ethics, my work ethic, and should be a part of everybody's business ethos.
I love that. And particularly, you know, you left me with that experience, even in a one-on-one non-buying transaction, right?
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it's like every way you touch somebody when you have that value inside of you is an opportunity to reinforce that, right? And like you, I talked to a lot of people at that event. There was a lot of people who wanted time with me, and you left that impression in a way that I knew, like, you know, you're the golden arches, right? Like you're you've got the golden nuggets, you've got this wisdom that was really special. So I just want to kind of reinforce that it's not always just about how we set up customer service systems, even though that's super important. It like permeates down into every experience you create with someone else in the business and real world.
Yeah. Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much. I love hearing that. And I think it comes from being authentic. And I think when you generally like people and you like engaging with them and you want to learn and you're inquisitive and you're curious and you can share like-minded information or learn from another. I love learning from other people. I'm a total life learner. I think that feeling, which is what's important, is what lasts. It's the thing that remains with someone. And so it's not only the first impression, but it's the last impression. And I do think that's important in business, that what you serve people from the place of service, that you genuinely want to connect with them as a human, and you're there as an employee, as a business, to serve their need, their problem, whatever it is they came to you with. And when you do that, the sales will happen naturally. It's you don't have to worry about that. And it's just feels so much better.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I just have to say this, there's a lot of like chatter going on in MySpace right now, which is not MySpace, the social media site, but my online space about the high profile bro marketers, as they call them, who are not creating these kind of experiences. And I think, you know, depending on the industry and the norms that are set, you can very quickly lose the thread of realizing, hey, look, an unhappy customer is not just going to leave your business. They're actually going to talk about it with other people. And some of them are actually going to create so much noise that, you know, it's going to change how people do business with you. And I think especially in the online marketing and the coaching industry and the, you know, pay to be mentored space, it's really a game changer right now. And I think there's a lot of people that didn't get that value system infused. So I'm really glad that you're making it your mission to help up-level the customer experiences that people have.
Well, thanks. And that's the thing I hear over and over again from other people that this is their experience, as it was, has been my experience. And I think it is very true what you're saying in this space of this online learning and mentoring and coaching, that it's become so formulaic. And when I hear someone speak and they come off as being this warm person who really cares about you, and they're speaking to thousands of people, and then you have an opportunity to speak to them afterwards, and it's a different person than what you heard on stage. You feel this like disconnect and this coldness. And then you get emails that are just so clearly just, like you say, formulaic and just mass marketed type things. And then it's signed like Big Love or, you know, stuff like that. Like, oh, it just makes my skin crawl because it's so inauthentic. Mm. And I think there's a lot of room for real people who really care to show that out there, because it's become a real problem, I think, with just about the sales and not about truly seeing transformation and helping people grow.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit more, because my mind is generating a billion questions for you. So I'm gonna go off track very quickly.
Okay, no problem. I do the same thing.
This conversation a little bit. You know, you've written a book called Transforming Transactions into Interactions. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us what you mean by a transaction versus an interaction?
Absolutely. A transaction for me is that it's what, to me, people, we always refer to as customer service, and still people a lot of times refer to customer service. Experience is becoming the buzzword, but I think it's important to define what the difference is. And that to me is the transaction is that service. It's the basic exchange of money for goods or services that someone provides. It's there's nothing emotional. There's no human connection. It's like going to get money from a cash machine. In fact, it says to you when you're done, would you like another transaction, right? And that's all it is. But that's not going to win people's hearts. That's not going to make them feel any better. It's not going to make them send referrals and bring them back as repeat customers. When you transform that basic transaction, because they're coming there with a need, so there's going to be an exchange of money for whatever the goods and services, but you create the relationship. You engage with them. You get to know who they are. You find out their name. You find out what's important to them. And you use that within your first experience with them. They're going to come back when they come back. Oh, hi, Melanie. Nice to see you again. What can we help you with today? Or would you like that? You know, I know you really love the hibiscus tea. Would you like that? You know, or are you looking for some more jeans today? Whatever it is. You connect with that person because you remember them as an individual who you're there to serve, not just sell.
So you've worked with a lot of different companies in a lot of different capacities since your wee young year beginnings. Yes. Can you maybe share an example of a company that you really feel embodies what you just said?
Companies that I worked with, or just companies in general that I've experienced?
Or either one, I guess. I was thinking someone you've worked with, but hey, we can go as wide as you want.
So with companies that I've worked with, I would say real estate. Okay. So I started with a small brokerage in Manhattan. And then I switched to a larger company. And then when I moved to Texas, I got my license here. So I'm licensed in both. And I am in Texas, I'm with Keller Williams. What attracted me to Keller Williams was their culture and their values. And we are the number one global brokerage. We're the largest brokerage, and we're throughout many countries. And yet, the core values of that company are on the wall in the office. They are embedded into every training, every meeting, the other associates that I work with. And it's a perfect example of how you can scale your business, but you make sure that whoever you bring on is in alignment with those core values. and you will then put out to the world what your brand promises, and your brand promise should incorporate that people are first, that it should be a win-win. And with my model, it's actually a win to the fifth power, but the goal is that it's not just about that sale. It's not about your own self improvement or financial gain, but it's about truly connecting and serving that other person.
I think in a way, what I hear you describing is like, you really get that this is the long game. It's Absolutely. Not a transaction. It's not the next sale. It's like, what do I want my company to be a year, 5 years, 10 years from now? I want the people I'm serving today to be referring us business and like sharing the amazing story of how they walked in and got this experience from us that made their day 10 years from now.
Yes, very much so. And when you hear the name of that company, what comes to mind? So perfect example, which I'm sure people have heard all the time, but I think they just really ooze the culture, and that's Zappos, right? What Michael Shea, Tony Shea did, yeah. Or Amazon. What do people think about? They have a good feeling. They have had good experiences time and time again, consistently. And that is key in a business. When you apply these principles consistently, consistency equals cash.
I love that little catchphrase, consistency equals cash. Talking my love language there, lady.
Well, that's what I love about it. I am truly obsessed with customer experience and the connection of people. But what really also excites me, because of, I can't help it, my upbringing, I grew up in the business, is that when you marry the principle of putting people first and caring about people, and you weave that in with business, your business is going to succeed and you're going to profit. And everyone profits along the way, and the full use of that definition of that term, and even the community that you're in, hopefully with a give back from the company being involved with their local communities. And so, you know, when you put the two together, it's awesome.
Yeah. So I know a lot of our listeners are going to appreciate hearing about these really big name companies, but they're probably more small business, right? Like maybe mm-hmm. they've got mm-hmm. under 10 employees or a couple of virtual assistants, or may even just be them by themselves. And I can imagine the conversation that's going through their head right now. It's like, I love this idea. I know I'm supposed to do it, but oh my God, I barely have time to keep the leads coming in to close enough business, right? Like such a common situation.
Yes.
What's something that they could put into action that would be really meaningful with this idea of five-star customer experience?
I think even when you're starting out, even more importantly, actually, when you're starting out, that you establish these systems and the core values right from the beginning, so that everything that's done along the way, every business decision, every development in your business, each person that you bring on into your business, everything will consistently echo the values that you're in, that you want for your brand, your business. And so, you know, it is starting out with those core values and whatever it is that you're doing. But I think things as simple as creating the system that always evaluates and goes back and checks, or how are we putting out what it is what we promise? How are we engaging with our customers? You don't have to be a huge business. In fact, how did they get there? They started small. Everyone starts with a single person, just you with your idea, and then you grow as you bring more people on. But I think leveraging the parts that you don't love, that even if you can do them, just because you should doesn't mean you could. I'm sorry, the other way around. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it, right?
So
And so I think that's really important, and to leverage those pieces. And that will give you more time to do the parts that you're really good at and you can be most productive in. And it's just all about, I think, living by reinforcing that core value of honoring your customer's decision to do business with you over a competitor, because everyone has lots of options today.
Yeah, I agree. I want to get into some of the mistakes that people are making in this area, but I was wondering, like, I think I want to share something we did from the get-go that always made a huge impression. I think it's right in line with what you're saying here, because if you're a business similar to mine, you're probably thinking like, well, okay, well, what are some of the tangible things I could do, right? There's two things we did. And then we're not perfect at any of this. Let's just be clear, right? No one's perfect with any of it. But as a rule, one of the things we've always tried to do is return phone calls and get back to people within 24, 48 hours at the max, unless it's a weekend. And, you know, again, my team's not always perfect on that. But the reason why we've done that is because sometimes people never hear back, right, from some of these online businesses. And so they become this like ghost of a business. And they're like, is there anybody out there, right?
Yeah.
I literally had situations where I reached out to companies and never heard back from anybody. And I was like, wow, it's so fascinating. But another thing we did, and it was the simplest thing, it was super inexpensive, it made such an impact, is when somebody bought something from my company, over $50, we sent them a little postcard or a card that just said, thank you. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you better. How else can we support you, right? And I literally would have people email my assistant and say, oh my God, I have spent thousands of dollars with people and never received anything in the mail. And I just wanted to give a couple of ideas of ways to create an experience in the online market, especially if you are more a smaller business, and you're like, well, what can I do that's meaningful that can make an impression that you may not even realize the value of that impression to the person on the other end?
It's huge what you just said. And, you know, touching on just a quick statistic that reinforces that, especially when it comes to like online reviews, that they find that when customers complain, that if you respond on the spot, of course, it's always the best, but everyone can't be available immediately, right? 24/7. But within 24 to 48 hours, that your business is going to increase by 82 to 98% because people are impressed that you care, that you've actually been responsive to them. Mm-hmm. And so it could be a simple thing of even a text message. You know, that phone call, that response is really important. And that it be something personal, and that I would reference back to whatever it is that they wrote you, letting them know you've actually taken the time to read what their concern is. You're not just like, oh, here, I'm calling you back now, what can I help you with? And I haven't even taken the time to invest in what you took the time to write me about. So you're respecting their time, and you're showing them that you care with their specific problem. Handwritten notes are huge, very much a part of the real estate industry, not so much used in other parts of the industry, other industries. And so this is where, in fact, my kind of multi-industrial experience comes in, because I kind of cross-pollinate ideas where maybe you do something in one industry that's very commonplace and standard, and it's not being done in another industry. So when it's applied somewhere else, it actually stands out as being exceptional and something that is different, that people aren't used to seeing. People are not used to handwritten notes anymore with email, just completely, everyone's flooded with emails. So a handwritten note, maybe even a small gift card, something that's not gonna cost you a lot of money, $5, $10, you know, thank you for your referral. Every time I get a real estate referral, before I even know if that deal's gonna turn into anything, it could be someone's, you know, just looking, and in the end, they don't do anything. But I always send a gift card to the person who's referred me for thinking of me and keeping me in front of mind. It could be something like, after you maybe done a small part of a project or have something that you've accomplished with someone, maybe send a small bouquet of flowers. You know, something that will be on their desk that remind them, or something that maybe isn't perishable. Of course, I'm a chocolate person, so I'm always happy with chocolate. But, you know, even something that maybe is a gift at the end of a project with someone that is related in some way to what they're doing. So, gosh, maybe they love wines. So maybe you get an engraved wine opener, or something personalized. I think personalization is really big, and it's something that they'll have in front of them, will always remind them of you.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like I'm doing a lot of the right things based on what you just said.
There you go. I think so.
We have somebody that she is always sending referrals to my coaching, and she's so generous with it. She just does it because she loves the results she's getting. And so I always surprise her with these little, I try to find something different each time. So I'm not sending her at the same time. She doesn't drink wine and she doesn't really drink coffee. So it's like really like, okay, I got to get creative. Yeah. So, but every time she's like, oh my God, this is the best. So it's fun. Like I love making people feel that sense of delight just by doing something they would normally do anyway.
Yeah. And it is fun on your side because giving, excuse me, giving is fun. And when you give with the consideration of that person in mind, it's even more special because again, it's more powerful as well because they're like, wow, they actually know me. They know my interest. And that's where it goes into again, where I say in the beginning, when you establish that client relationship, get to know them and what's important to them, take little notes, keep it in your CRM so that when you need to have a gift or a holiday or anniversary comes up or something special, you can follow back up and say, oh, how was that trip to Italy? I know it looks like, I think you just got back about a week or so ago, you know, you're getting settled in. What was your favorite, you know, part of your trip? Or send them a little something from that was reminiscent of Italy, you know, or before they go. It's all about knowing your client and your customer.
Yeah, so true. Okay, so I almost hate to bring it back to mistakes because we're on such a great roll of all the good stuff you can do. But, you know, sometimes I don't think people understand the impact of something until they see very clearly they're making a mistake that they could easily shift, right? So maybe give us the top two or three mistakes that people, especially in the more in the entrepreneurial businesses, might be making.
I think the biggest mistake is what we just talked about is communication. When people are not followed, if communication is not followed through and the person feels forgotten and that they've taken their money, but now they're not interested in delivering or giving them any attention, then they start to really feel like a transaction. Mm-hmm. They feel a little used and then resentment builds up. And then it becomes a lot harder to get in front of that eight ball and create the healthy relationship that you need to be able to serve them and help them make the progress that they came to you for from the beginning.
Absolutely. So can I just add to that? If you make yourself so unavailable that you are unable, you may not be like disappearing, but you've made yourself so unavailable.
Absolutely. And the reason people connect with you in the beginning is because they had this feeling there was something that resonated with what you've said that they feel they have a need for and they've connected to you personally for whatever reason. So follow through on that. Don't let people down. Be there for them and provide them the services that they've paid you for. First and foremost, they paid you for something, right? And so deliver what I call celebrity customer experience. Because think about how celebrities are treated. And why is their dollar worth any more than your dollar? It's not. In the bank, it's worth the same amount of money. So deliver a celebrity customer experience each time to every person, no matter how big or small that contract or project is with them. At the end of the day, it could lead to more referrals, repeat business, but it's genuine, it's authentic, and it's going to feel right. And after all, they've paid you for a service. And go beyond and really serve them.
Well said. Anything else that we need to kind of have on our radar? It's like, okay, avoid this pitfall that people make in this area.
I would say you want to avoid where people are constantly, they don't have a point person. So a lot of times in businesses, well, it depends upon the business, of course. I'm thinking about coaching program where maybe there's a small business and the person who's your customers come in, they don't know who they're supposed to speak with. The channels have not been clearly defined. The expectation and the process has not been clearly defined. That to me is a real problem. And I see it time and time again, that once a product or program has been sold, that it's just kind of dropped off. There's no onboarding. There's no expectation set. There's no follow through. Follow through is a huge one that people don't do. And both while they're engaged in the project that's going on and especially afterwards, a lot of money is left on the table because there's no follow through after the conclusion of an engagement with someone.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that one up because that's a big one in any kind of service business, right? Like your onboarding process. I have a client who's an accountant and she runs a big accounting firm. And, you know, this is one of the things that she learned very quickly is if she wanted to create this 5-star customer experience, she had to have a specific onboarding process that she trained her people very clearly on. So, you know, my lawyer clients have this, the accountants, the whatever service you're in, whether it's online or brick and mortar, your onboarding process is literally teaching your client how you will show up for them. And it will make them feel like they made the best decision or the worst decision.
100%. Yes.
I love this so much. I know you have a resource that you want to share with our audience. It's a checklist around intentional client satisfaction. Do you want to share with people what it is and where they can get it?
Of course. Thank you. Yes. I love getting information and tips and ideas out there because I think the more experiences that we have, the better business will be and grow. And it's just a win for everyone. And so I'd love to offer you my CX, which is an acronym for customer experience. My CX checklist, and that can be found at jillraff.com/CX checklist. And so that's my name, Jill Raff. Raff is spelled R like Robert, A double F like French fry.
That's great. And I'll put that link on the show notes over at Amplify Your Success Podcast. If you were scrambling to write that down or for some reason the link doesn't work, no sweat. We will have that made available to you. So I know we could talk about this forever, and I'm just so fascinated by the work you're doing, but I want to go a little bit on the personal side as we start to wrap up here. You know, you've had such an interesting journey. You've had a varied past. You've worked with a lot of amazing companies. You've had so much experiences, and I know it's made you a very wise person today. But what would you say is the boldest move you had to make in order to grow your business?
It was certainly pivoting. Sometimes it just felt natural and flowed, and that was making the changes from industry to industry. And I didn't do it specifically consciously, like, okay, now I have to take this big step. It really was an accumulation and an aggregate of one experience to the next, and it just made sense. It flowed. But I think the boldest, I don't think of it that way, but I guess it is. I hear other people talk about, wow, so you went from this industry to that industry. But when I moved to Austin from Manhattan, where I spent most of my adult life in New York City, I didn't realize that originally it was like cutting off my business, my real estate business. And so I continued to have to really work at leveraging and keeping that business alive in New York and establishing all over again a business in Texas. And I think the biggest thing for me was saying, okay, where I've worked in these different fields and industries, I've served one particular client or customer or one specific area. And I know I have so much more to give. And when I combine it all together, how can I be most helpful and purposeful and serve the most people with everything that I've learned and my upbringing? And that really is what created my customer experience strategist business. And it was sitting down and just really, I'm very visual. I see it as this funnel. And I, you know, threw in there this brain dump of all the things that I've done, my education, my travel, and you name it. And it really came out as recognizing that the pattern, the common thread there was the customer's experience, always putting people first. And through my own experiences of having a great experience where I walk out and I have this big smile on my face, I'm like, why do I feel this way? It's because I just had an engagement. I actually spoke with the employees there and it was just a real nice human connection. And I can't wait to go back and have that happen again. And that's so few and far between. So I want to make this happen for businesses everywhere so that everyone can succeed and people in general, as the customer is besides the business side, can feel really great about doing business with them and create a happier world that we live in. It might sound a little woo-woo and pretty big. That's a bold statement, but I really do believe that one by one, each experience that we have will create that environment.
Mm. I think that's a very worthy, bold goal to set. because if we don't start shifting how we show up as business leaders, then we can't create a shift in the greater consciousness of the business world. So I love that. Thank you.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you.
Oh, Jill, I love this so much. You're such a wise soul. And I love all of the gifts you bring to this community with your intentional client satisfaction, your 5-star customer experience process. I want to encourage you guys to grab the checklist, the CX checklist, joelraff.com/CX checklist, and really look at like, how could you take one piece of your business and raise the experience to 5-star, even if it's in just one place, and really set the intention that by raising my experience I give my clients, I'm not just changing one life today, I'm actually setting my business up to get more business by simply wowing the customers I have. It's a very powerful place to play. So Jill, thanks for bringing this to us today. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate you. This was wonderful. A lot of fun. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week for another power-packed episode of Amplify Your Success podcast. This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.